Blog Talk Radio.
I've seen strangers raising flags, seen you dressed in ashen rags, seen them all turn around. Just like you, I hold my ground, but I stand quiet, I stand still, like a rock throughout the ages. I'm just a stone from your home, I'm Jerusalem's stone. Your milk and honey flowing, but I stand quiet, I stand still, like a rock throughout the ages. I'm just a stone from your home, I'm Jerusalem's stone.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we've been blessed to stay alive in Torah Chaim. Instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of Chesed, kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we are the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 555 program presentation. Heart to heart from Jerusalem to the rest of the world, series number 51. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience with Creator's help. It's now February 8th at 9:32 a.m., which corresponds to 4:32 p.m. in the Holy Land of Jerusalem, Israel. We hopefully, in a minute or two, we're going to be joining discussion with international Torah human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, also with his wife of valor, Chana Tova, administrate www.hearttoheartamerican.org. The call in number is 8347-838-8669. That's 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And you're listening to Jerusalem Stone from the Inner Flame CD from Eighth Day. We'll just let the music play out and then we'll get on with the shoe. Thank you, Marcus Brothers. And for whatever reason, Rabbi Goldstock, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, could not connect yet with us. Hopefully he will. If he does not connect with us within the next 15 minutes, we'll do a truncated version, and hopefully we'll reconnect with him next week. Blessed souls, the tags for today's program are as follows, as a way of how we express our vision for matters that should be brought up or upon, placed upon the table of human being discussion. The tags are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, and when you help a handy, capable human being, you're proving you are just as capable. Now, with that being said, I just want to mention that since Rabbi Goldstock has not called in yet, hopefully will in a moment, those of you who want to call in, maybe you want to share your experiences working with people who are, the world might call handicapped or special needs. They're actually very unique human beings. But before we do that, I'd like to share with you a teaching from about 51 years ago. And it's a Chassidish discourse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And it talked about the idea of giving to Creator, which ultimately brings down a bounty and indirectly is a way of giving back to human beings, because when we do what we can to elicit the bounty of the Creator into creation, more than ourselves benefit from it. So again, I'm plucking an inspiration from Shabbos Parshas Truma, which the international community of Israel. Actually, I'm getting apparently we've had some sort of miscommunication. Eliezer said it was at 10, so I'm getting a, let's see here, let's, maybe we're going to bring in a guest. Now, if you can, call in now if you can. And that number is 347-838-8669. That's 347-838-8669. So, blessed, is getting back to this whole idea of giving. So the Rebbe talked about this idea based on a teaching from his ancestor, the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. And excuse me, if I'm sending a message out to potentially a co-host for today. And just one second, please. Okay. So there's this idea of giving, contributing towards the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, which you can learn about by going to chapter 25 in the book of Exodus, Sefer Shmos. And there, Moses is commanded by the Most High Creator to tell the Israelites, which I'm a part of. And by the way, we are now going to bring in a co-host. I believe this is Shoshana. Shoshana, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. And we're kind of going very impromptu Murphy Law mode this morning. I understood, I must have misunderstood him. And if it's 9:30 a.m. here in Brooklyn, New York, Kesakon Heights, I thought it was 4:30 in Jerusalem. I thought we were 7 hours behind. So he mentioned 10 o'clock. Perhaps he meant for you to come in the halfway point, but he must be delayed. And if he's delayed, he's delayed with something very important. So,
okay, I do know where he's at. I thought he was back by now. The last time I heard from him was 2 hours ago. So something, he's visiting a very special friend in the hospital. So I just sent him a message, and then without going into the detail, because it's not mine to give, this friend has, I've been following the progress, is doing much better this morning.
Oh, Hashem. And I want to get back to what I was talking about. I just want to mention I had to take my little sabbatical due to the severe health problems of my father, and I was very much engaged in his well-being, and his well-being is still something of concern, but I was told by my teacher, my mentor, that I must continue on with activities as this, because this is also in a direct, and most people might think it's an indirect way, but when we're doing things for the benefit of the public, that this can have a good effect on one's parents and help activate at whatever quantum physical level there is to activate a healing. So I might as well just mention in passing that today's program is dedicated to my father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov Ben Esther, who is resting right now from a variety of issues, which I'm not going to go into detail. Maybe a full shlem, and also for my mother, that she should be strengthened with Gashmias Baruchnias, because it's also a travail for her, as you know, someone who's, when parents or human beings are married 56 plus years, that one feels the other quite intensely when one is suffering. So I just want to share that. With that being said, I want to go back, Shoshana, and then I'd like to get your take on these matters. Yeah, I'm sorry.
On that note, and then let me add that I'm fairly sure it's okay for me to say this, that the young woman that Rabbi Goldstock has been visiting in the hospital is a heart-to-heart baby. She was placed through heart-to-heart. She's now a young adult. He is there with her. So in the parallel scheme of things, it's a heart-to-heart baby. So, okay, good. Great. Okay, great.
So I wish we had the name. We could shout out a blessing to her. Hopefully, if Eliezer can join us, I'm sure he can mention the name and the mother's name. And we're not violating anyone's privacy just by mentioning the person's first name and their mother's name. But they're basically, Shoshana and blessed souls listening out there, there are three types of ways of giving. And again, I'm basically drawing out an inspiration. I'm not going to directly translate from the Hebrew to English what the Rebbe is saying, but I think in a way that's accessible to most human beings and how they can integrate and implement it to the mundanity of their lives to elevate the mundanity of their lives, mundane aspects. So there's the idea of giving because one is obliged to in certain matters. And when one gives of those matters which one is obliged to give to, it sets up the foundation for a structure that person is building to project out a place for blessing for not only for those that person is giving their obligations to, but also for themselves. Number two, a second type of giving is one gives of the heart, meaning aside from the obligatory offerings that one must give, there's this idea of giving, which might could be considered at the level of giving in a sanctified, sacrificial way, and it might even involve some level of self-sacrifice. But all of that is accentuated and elevated when it's done with a sense of purpose of heart and really desiring to give of oneself and one's efforts. And then the third level of giving is when one wants to complete the structure one has started by establishing the foundations of one's obligations towards building a structure, and then one gives of the heart, and then wants to embellish it and beautify it so it can actualize its potential. And I think, Shoshana, where I'm leading with this is that heart-to-heart is built on these three principles. Rabbi Goldstock and his wife of Valor, Chanatola, felt it was their obligation not only towards their daughter, Suri, who was born with Up syndrome, Down syndrome 24-plus years ago, but they felt they should make a space, create a foundation for other parents because, being that Rabbi Goldstock was already a neuropsychologist and was interacting with the medical world, when his wife was, if I recall correctly, in his recalling after Suri was born, the cold-heartedness of, I think they were advised to give the child away, turned them so off that they said, we're going to establish a foundation for saying, no, you don't give your child away. At which point they sacrificed themselves, and I think several weeks after she was born or after they moved to Muncie, where they previously had been living in California, they set up gatherings on Shabbat to gather in other families so families shouldn't feel isolated instead like a community like Muncie. And the embellishment and the beautification of heart-to-heart has come for the very fact that they've continued throughout the years. They're now a 24, 25-year-old organization, and they have now international connections, and there's international implications with that, and it's also tutorial for the nations of the world. So I think that, Shoshana, I'd like to get your feedback on this, how these three types of giving you can see very much part and parcel of the heart-to-heart organization and the people who are the organization, and by which now you're a part of it since you're involved in, I believe, revamping their website.
Oh, I'm not. Well, we're going to do that at some point in time. I'm on the European side. I'm not on the American side yet. In terms of web design, that's down the road. because it's up and it's fine. Our European site's not ready yet. But it is interesting because, I'm winging it here because I was asked to come on Midway and he would be here and we would talk about the site and where we're going. So let me just pull my thoughts together here for a moment about the show.
Sure.
I took notes on what you were writing. The people themselves, I mean, I guess I could add a little bit more of the personal history of the Gold Stocks here because when they got Mendy, when I think he was six, I could be wrong on that, but something wants to tell me he was 6 years old, they were looking for a place, a family to place him with, and I know Rabbi Goldstock said this on your show before, that his children came together and basically said, aren't we all about not giving them away? So they wound up, Hannah and Rabbi Goldstock and the Rebbetzin wound up adopting Mendy. And, you know, all these years later, look at what both he and Sari are doing. So it's one thing to set up these three building blocks, which we're doing and the organization is doing, but the Goldstocks themselves have done what they are asking other people to do. And so one of the things that sort of fills in the three here is my example, and that we need to actually be active, not just knowing, not just saying, but that we're being very active. Like the Rebbetzin setting up things on Shabbat to get some awareness out that doesn't hurt Shabbat, and then working with the families and et cetera, that we have to have our outreach. We have to be very active. And so one of the ways that people can be active when they can't be physically involved is to get involved in the ways of giving. As you said, 1, 2, 3. Like, and as I said, I'm winging it because I'm not really sure what I am and I'm not allowed to say at this point with what's going on in Europe. But is that enough? Did I stutter?
I like the idea that you said that what they are instructing others or teaching others, evidencing to others is based on their own evidence-based, and I'm not going to call it a study because when you're raising your children, you're not conducting a study. You're living your life and you're trying to help your own children live their lives. And, you know, we all know, those of us who are blessed to have parents, there is no greater endeavor, no matter what we accomplish in the economic world or even in our communal world, it really starts with how are you interacting with your children to empower them. And all those things, too, that, you know, it's an instruction for their children that yes, Suri and Mendy, who live with, Suri is biologically their child and Mendy is their spiritually and about the closest thing you can get to being their biological child, what they've accomplished in the last couple of years because the Goldstocks have invested those obligatory offerings. What they have done has come from the giving of their heart. What they have done is to embellish their life experiences. Suri taking dancing lessons. If I'm not mistaken, she might have taken guitar lessons. They've involved in unique forms of Olympics training, and they participated in running events. And then they were meritorious to go with other unique human beings to go, I think, to one of the islands of Greece. And then I think, I myself haven't even been to Greece. I mean, you know, they're giving these young adults the opportunity to live a life. And I want to, unless...
I might be able to say something additional then. Might be able to add then so that you don't need to go on thinking that that's all I had to say. You triggered a few words. Inclusion. One of the things that we're working hard on the psychology behind this website is, and I know it just might seem like a website, but it's giving the voice and the face to not just the people who are working within the Heart to Heart charitable organization, but also the individuals with Down syndrome, and not just Down syndrome either. There's some other issues that we're working with is full inclusion, and we're putting together an event venue on this website so that people can see, not just hear, but people can see what these children and young adults are actually doing with their time, what they are physically capable of doing, the swimming, the dancing, Mendy plays the drums, the music. We have some musical stuff that is going to be presented. but that how they can be fully included into everyday life, so that parents who, if they've taken the, before the child is born, if they've done the testing and know, or if it is after the child is born and they know, that we have a venue for them that they can see a positive result, that this isn't a child that needs to be given away because this child is going to be too difficult and needs to be fed, spoon-fed and all of this stuff for the rest of their lives. No. We even have a photograph up of the only armed forces in the entire world, which is Israel, that has special needs young adults incorporated into the IDF to give them a sense of patriotism and purpose. So fully included, and that we work towards that. And so that the families that are struggling with this great decision when the child is born or even before the child is born can see the ultimate success down the road if they just stick with it, stick to it.
That's true. I'd like to go back with some historical data, which, again, just give a person a perspective on what's been going on in terms of Down syndrome awareness in Israel. And this is one of the resources that you can access, Blessed Souls, by going to hearttoheartamerican.org. This is called Down, and I just, you know, out of the spur of the moment, clicked it on to see what I can bring to the table of discussion today, if Eliezer would come on, or in this case, if he had not. So this is called Down Syndrome Educational Online, and it talked about that, and this is data going way back, there, from 1997, the infant mortality rate for Jews was 4.9 per live births, whereas for the Arabs living in the Holy Land it was 9.3. So the overall rate in Israel, according to one research study by someone by the name of Ifra, 1999, was 6.2. Now, the decline affects Jews as well as Arabs, with especially marked decline in mortality due to infectious causes. Now, as well, it was remarked by the author of this whole blog submission, Yoav Merrick, was that infant mortality had generally decreased in the past 20 years in Israel, and a decrease in infant mortality in Down syndrome has also been noted. This is due to better medical treatment, as we mentioned, that there's been a marked decline because of infectious causes were treated. But as well, just as important, is increased parental involvement in the care of infants with Down syndrome. So it could be that one of the biggest causes of extending a human being's life in those very tender moments, it could be a make-or-break paradigm, is are the parents ready to accept? This is something Eliezer talked about. The majority of the programs we've done is that God doesn't make mistakes. And although we don't wish people to have children with special needs, the fact is when the parents are actively involved in the treatment, Rabbi Goldsack has mentioned, that for the first 2 or 3 years, the child can sort of maintain a certain level of anonymity, although, you know, there's certain facial features which make them distinguishable. Still, they can grow up as any 1 to 3 year old. They might be behind a little bit in some of the developmental skills, but so what? Many children who are not Down syndrome, many children who are not special needs children, sometimes have delays in development. I myself had a slight speech impediment in the way I pronounced my S's. And I remember in my memory bank, I don't remember the experiences literally, but I remember having speech lessons where the speech teacher had me do certain types of exercises where I would learn to pronounce the S properly, that I wouldn't lisp my S, as I just exemplified for you. So I just think this is one of the things that Heart to Heart aims at, is that they want to emphasize not only it is a mitzvah from the Torah to love every Jew, and it's also on the more Hasidic level, as it applies to the Hasidic population of the Jewish people, or the Hasidic Umot Olam, the pious of the nations of the world, to care for what Hashem has given a person. And to care that people who are born have a situation presented before them where they have a child who is uniquely distinguished by the fact that they have been given this shlichus, this mission on earth to bear the yoke of Down syndrome, Up syndrome, is that we must be totally respectful of the fact they have that very right to live and enjoy their life and experience those things we would like to experience according to our level of consciousness. Shoshana?
Mm-hmm. I have classified information that I can share.
Okay.
While you went over to the American side, I went to the European, not published yet, given out yet side, and looked at what we've been doing with this for the last couple of months. We didn't start building until the beginning of January. This has been a labor of love, sweat, and tears for sure. And our new CEO is doing great things too. A message from Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. This is going to appear when we are able to give out this website. The term handicap defines boundaries rather than, let me just back up. This is on the homepage. The term handicap defines boundaries rather than encouraging the breaking limits. The word actually imposes increased restrictions on the collective achievement of the human potential. This then is the key to rejection or acceptance. The term is one of convenience use to define, and by its very usage is a key factor in preventing unbounded personal success and achievement. If it is not by definition empowering, then it is disabling. We are therefore differently abled, handy, capable. We are not lab animals who can be normal or abnormal. We are humans who are capable of being typical for a moment or situation. We all have the capacity to achieve our full and complete human potential if we are not handicapped. Having a baby is our way of shouting to the world that we can produce the likeness of ourselves in some small way that will reflect the best that we are and can offer. We would certainly never dive into have a differently abled child, but when we do, we will get to the point where we can accept that this is something that God needed to do. Joy is a daily requirement. And when we are missing joy, our purpose is diminished. Your purpose and mission in life, in this life, is to bring joy into the mundane of daily living. Godliness may seem so somber and so serious, yet God is equated with joy. Because joy is indeed godly, and we are missing out on an amazing fulfillment of our purpose and mission in life, and that is to bring all of that joy into the mundane of daily living. Live your life with joy fully, even when overcoming despair. Hasidus teaches us that when light pushes away darkness, eventually another darkness will come and replace that darkness that was successfully overcome with light. However, when darkness is not only pushed away but is itself transformed into light, then the next time there is a darkness, what follows that will have absolutely no power over it, and so there is only light. The education of a child must always be focused not on limitations but rather on the contrary, on a focused yet unlimited encouragement to succeed. And
Thank you for sharing that, Shoshana. I want to pull out from another resource that you can access by going to the hearttoheartamerican.org website. And again, I'm just happy, you know, there's just a smorgasbord of information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a blog article that was written by Elaine Bull. We're going to cover part of it. I guess it's the concluding section of our program. If Elias is not going to come on, will probably end in about 20 minutes. Elaine Bull is a teacher and grandparent living in the UK, and she wrote about the idea of what the issues that one may encounter or how to circumvent those, what might seem to be overwhelming issues. What are those overwhelming issues? When the child who is uniquely capable is going from the process of going from early kindergarten or preschool to secondary school, you know, first grade, second grade, et cetera, et cetera. So based on personal experience, the transfer to secondary education can be an anxious time in planning ahead can help. My granddaughter is 9 years old and in year four at a local, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Secondary school would be sixth to eighth grade, Shoshana. She's She said primary school would be, primary school, I think, is grade 1 through 6.
6, and then 7 to 8 or 9, and then 10 through 12.
Okay, secondary. Okay, so please excuse me for that glitch in my brain again, because I did this so spontaneously. But I know anything that's posted here is worthy of reading and sharing, so I made a mistake. Okay, so let's say you're a parent or a grandparent is transferring their child from the grade school, 1 through 6, to the next level, grade 7-8. I mean, when I was in junior high school, ninth grade was junior high. Now in ninth grade in my old school district, it was considered the freshman year in high school. But whatever that may be, we're talking about a child who's leaving the primary school level. So she's talking about her granddaughter who was 9 years old in year 4 at a local primary school. And we already started looking around for secondary schools. I'm aware that advice usually is given to parents is to start the process in the year 5. So, however, we were advised by the head of the primary school to begin a year earlier, and I know why now. This is a complicated question, meaning the question is, what do you want out of your child's education, who is uniquely capable? And the answers will vary from every child and every family, but let me try to help you think it through. Do you want your child in mainstream secondary education or in a special school? Would you like to consider private education? Look at your child's needs in view of what you want to get out of a secondary education for him or her. Do you want an academic education or a good, well-rounded social education? Has your child any special abilities or interests? Choosing the right school for your child entails striking a balance between what you need and what you want and what is available. And, of course, I think the implication is what you need and what you want is what you need and want is to have the needs and wants of your uniquely capable child to be fulfilled to their utmost potential. Do you want your child to be included in the school, working with peers, or do you want appropriate withdrawal for teaching to meet specific needs? Would you be happy with your child being educated in a unit attached to a school? If so, consider the needs of the pupils within the unit. Consider the class size and staffing ratio. On what occasions are pupils from the unit included in mainstream lessons? How much inclusion, takes place? Is it decided upon to meet the needs of the individual child, or is it for other reasons? Now, even within those two paragraphs, Shoshana, let me just count the number of questions here. That's 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7, that's 8 questions in 2 paragraphs, which I can understand just from those 8 questions, it could make anyone's head spin, realizing this is what's at stake in terms of providing the right pathway for the future of their child. Your take on this matter?
Well, from a different perspective, in kindergarten, the kindergarten level, I had the merit of being involved for 1 year of deciding whether or not these children, special needs children, we didn't have, it was more ADD, ADHD, along those lines, but whether they could go on to a regular school or if they had to be put into a special school in terms of inclusion. And so when we ask all of these questions, the head is just spinning, even mine, really, listening to all of that. I can just have a takeaway from some of the experiences that I had is that actually a more earlier developmental stage. And there are a lot of techniques that are used to make sure that these children have a future in full inclusion. And so is there one particular question that stands out to you that perhaps is of interest or...
Well, I would say this. I would say that the question that all the, you know, we talked about this idea of the fundamental obligation to establish something in terms of creating an environment which will bring blessing and empowerment to other people is striking the balance between what a person needs as a parent and what they want and what's available. And again, downsize that to, and that includes if the child is verbal or the child evidences enough behavior that one can zoom in on what their needs or wants are. And if the child is communicative sufficiently verbally to bring out that dialogue between parent and child, and if the communication can only be done on a behavioral basis, again, to me, that's the obligation. What are the needs and wants of the child, and what is available? And that's...
Okay. I got it. In terms of availability, I mean, this is... So let's go back to heart-to-heart here. This is one of the things that is going to be key. Not just having an online presence and telephones and visitations, because those are all incredibly important, but we're at a place in our generation now where actual facilities are being built, actual programs are being put into place, accredited programs, where you don't just put your child into that, like a private school, and say, you take care of them. This is hands-on with the family. This is hands-on with the parents and with people who have been experience in this. Like you said, whether it's they can verbalize, the children can verbalize, or it's behavioral, if it has to be visual, arts and or sciences, you know. So in answer to that, what are some of the things that we can do? I think Heart to Heart is working very hard to establish boots on the ground to actually pull that into being. And then I think it gives more of a security to the parents who are walking uncharted waters on how to deal with this and where they can come together. And so what's paramount is getting together with professionals, getting together with peer groups, same as any other support group. You know, we have them for divorce. Why can't we have them for taking care of a new child that is going to have a challenging future within the family and things like that? They didn't used to exist. This used to be, you didn't talk about this.
Right.
It was a stigma.
And which led to giving away the children.
Right, exactly. That's what led to it. Mm-hmm.
There probably is a correlation and causation. You know, correlation, we talk about, more people drowned in the summer, and there's ice cream sticks on the beach where they drowned. So we can't say there's a causation because, by the way, when it's hot in the summer, people eat ice cream and they might go into the ocean if they drowned. We're not going to say it's because they ate that ice cream. So, but I think, though, with the idea of not talking about it and all of a sudden the child is given away, the causation, the causative factor is because of the lack of awareness. A lack of awareness leads to a lack of dialogue about the situation. And 1, 2, 3, before you know it, the child is given away.
That, and also I have found, becoming involved with this, that people don't quite understand it genetically. They still have this old school thought in their mind of words like retarded and mongrel and things like that. They don't really understand that just because one child in the family is born with this, that doesn't mean that whomever marries into the family is going to risk, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 children with Down syndrome. The awareness also has to be about this itself and what the DNA factor is. I think we've discussed before, the odds of carrying a Down syndrome child is actually higher in childbearing women of their 20s than it is in their 40s. So an education of what this is, what causes it, what are the odds. So we don't want to scare anybody into saying, well, it could happen to me more likely now than later, so let's wait to have children, or vice versa. These are all fear factors that we're hearing from women and men, married couples, who are investigating this. It's sort of like, is this a cancer gene? You know, is this passed down generationally? What do we, if my daughter is going to get married to a young man with a family that has a child with this, or vice versa, these are social stigmas that still exist. And they need to be addressed as well.
I agree.
Not
with
just
you
on
1,000%.
How to interact socially, but the scientific evidence behind this.
Yeah, I agree. One more point I'd like to bring on from this article: when the parent, in this case, is the grandparent, I guess she collaborated with her daughter in going to visit schools, which would be potentially suitable for her grandchild. We're talking about Elaine Bull, who wrote these musings here on this blog submission, which I'll just go back to saying this is coming from Down Syndrome Education Online, that she mentioned that when going to the school, take note of how the school, quote-unquote, feels when you visit. What does your gut instinct tell you? One of the schools which my daughter liked, I visited about 3 years ago, instantly felt that it was a quote-unquote happy school where perhaps my granddaughter might eventually fit in. Okay, so it was Elaine Bull's granddaughter. Does this school feel welcoming? You may be shown around the school by existing pupils. Use this opportunity to talk to your guides. You may know members of staff or parents or pupils. Talk to them all. Talk to the head teacher of your child's primary school. They cannot recommend a school, but they will offer give you very useful advice. Talk to your educational psychologist. They know your child and the schools. So my daughter and I came up with the following attributes for Senko, which it entails being enthusiastic, excited at the prospect of having your child at the school, vibrant, welcoming, approachable, a problem solver, empathetic, willing to listen, and not overprotective. We also agreed that the school has to be inclusive, that all the staff should be aware of the child, their particular needs, and any potential problems. There should also be a willingness to share knowledge and expertise to enable everyone to contribute in managing any issues which arise, which we call in my field, everyone has to be at the same table of discussion. It means, you know, for these schools truly to function, and myself working in a social service agency, you know, a lot of time is dedicated, Shoshana, to chewing the fat over our clients' cases. And everyone who attends, like, our team meetings, and we can have 5, 6, 7 people at a meeting, they're welcome to give their perspective, whether they're dealing with that person or not, because they sometimes someone with an objective opinion can really inject a kernel of insight, which can actually, if implemented, can thoroughly empower that person to the next level. I can just give one example. I'm going to speak in a very general way. There's different modes by which, say, people that I deal with take their medications. And I had one particular client who struggled for many years being accurate in taking his or her medications because he or she take so many of them because they have a variety of issues, not just mental health, but physical health. So one health practitioner came up with the idea, well, get them a blister pack where instead of them having to take 15, I mean, some of the people I work with take 15 to 16 medications a day, which is very overwhelming. I mean, how many of us just don't forget to take our vitamin C every morning and our iron pill or our vitamin B, D, and E? You know, so this health practitioner came up with the idea of this person getting a blister pack, and lo and behold, this person has been symptoms-free. I mean, he or she still have their issues, but they have been mentally health and physically health stabilized for now almost coming close to 16 months, which is amazing because previous to that, because of their lack of adherence to taking their physical medication, their medical medications and their psychiatric medications, they would have hospitalizations almost on a yearly basis. So someone from the outside who is not dealing with their day-to-day treatment came in. So with these type of uniquely capably empowering schools, I would hope that the parents get that sense of everyone's viewpoint, if they're part of the team, quote-unquote, will be involved in contributing. And so to speak, even though Heart to Heart is not running a school yet, in a sense, what Heart to Heart is offering for free to families and parents and uniquely capable, that outside objective voice which can inject that kernel of empowerment, which can literally upgrade a person's life faster than the expression, you know, can you pass the chillin', please? I want some more.
Right, exactly. Oh boy, for another time when we have a little more time, do I have a funny chillin' story for you? It involves a righteous Gentile who meant so well, and literally, you know, pass it, can I have some more? Literally, he was passing the ball around the table. It was fun. We have a new minhag now out of Pittsburgh. So anyway, so you mentioned school. The campus that is going to be built in Jerusalem, these are some of the classes that are going to be available to help with these things. They're going to be geared towards relationship improvement, socialization and life skills, preparation to enter the workplace. So we're dealing now with obviously not the younger children, but as they mature physically and emotionally and sociologically, I guess I should say, classes in health and hygiene, cooking classes, focusing on nutrition. And that's what got me thinking about this, because I've noticed that when people get involved with their preparation of food for a healthier diet, healthier mind, healthier soul, they're very happy about it. They really enjoy doing that. So focusing on nutrition and healthy eating in a fully equipped kosher commercial kitchen, classes improving self-esteem and creating personal boundaries, because we know that these individuals are often taken advantage of and bullied, and that's a sad but true reality. Courses covering creating a warm Jewish home, including relationships, computer skills. Now get this. This one I love. Hotel management.
Wow.
Field trips. I'm telling you, full inclusion here for those that it fits. Field trips affording an opportunity to explore heritage and the land they will now call home. Courses on physical education, exercise, swimming, music, and dance. And then we go on to say, people who have Down syndrome are known for their creativity. So there will be classes teaching art, design, sewing, knitting, design as well as all forms of creative self-expression in the area of drama, music, and dance. People with Down syndrome are renowned for their kindness, their warmth, and love for every person. The campus will include time for participation in a variety of volunteer activities with other organizations. That's a lot.
That's beautiful. And as you were reading that,
Shoshana,
I was reading an email that I just got from Eliezer. Yes, he's in the hospital. It's a serious situation. He cannot talk, so there's no reason to apologize, Eliezer. And although he did not give her name, we certainly wish her a refuah shlema. Listen, if someone, I'm not going to divulge what he told me, what her issues are, but as I read them, it's quite serious. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we say, Yeshua Hashem Kerafayin, that the deliverance of Hashem are, you know, with the blink of an eye. So we're going to wish her well, and he says he hopes to be back with us. Just to mention, if you're in touch with him, Shoshana, during the week, because I don't know if I will be. Again, I want to start the programs at 9:30 a.m., which would correspond to 4:30 his time. And
9:30,
then if you come on at
9:30,
whatever, because I'm sure he was so occupied, which is certainly understandable.
Mm-hmm.
When a person's involved in a situation like as he has described to me so tersely, you know, on the email, it's understandable. But with that being said, Sean, I want to thank you for coming in so spontaneously. I mean, again, this whole presentation, aside from that little extraction from that Torah from the Rebbe, I basically planned nothing for the program. So I think it went fairly well, considering the fact that we're showing that, you know, that this is, if it's really your life's endeavor, it's your heart's endeavor, if you're willing to give of yourself because you feel there's an obligation and you feel that your heart should be in it and you want to beautify that effort, that even with the humble efforts we did for like the last, you know, 48 minutes together, or I did 48 minutes, you came in about 10 minutes later, that we can provide information that hopefully the people listening today or those who will hear the archive version will be nurtured for and want to learn more about it. And for those of you who want to help heart to heart, move to the next level, I'd like to give you a contact number. I know there's a number in Israel which I do not have access to, but I'm going to give you the phone number that you can call in Brooklyn, New York.
I have that one.
Okay, so I'll give out the Brooklyn number, Shoshana, and then you can give out the number that you have access to. The number is, Blessed Souls, if you want to give an obligatory offering, which you feel it's your obligation to help, or you want to give it from your heart and you want to help empower other people, you can call 718-778-0111. That's 718-778-0111. And I just want to mention that Heart to Heart is a non-for-profit, what is the term? Is it 501c3 non-for-profit charity, which is certainly for the public good, not only for here in America, but all around the world. So, Shoshana, you want to share that number as well?
Okay, yeah. And extending that, it's what I've got here anyway, 501c3, registered not-for-profit in the state of New York, Nevada, and it is a legal corporate and not-for-profit corporation in the state of Israel also. So in Israel, we've got 011-972-52-869-9972. And for people in the country, you know, 011 is the country code.
Okay, very good. And not to be in competition for the monies, I just want to mention that I have opened up a PayPal account, and if anyone's interested in contributing toward my broadcasting efforts, I'm in the process of negotiating. I have the most minimal connection right now, subscription with Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to upgrade it 2 times the way that it is, and basically we'd like to try to raise about... I think it's about $3,000+ in the coming year, so we can have a wider audience, bring in more people, and make it more accessible. And I want to mention anyone who will listening to any of our programs that will contribute. Although while I am not a 501c3 non-for-tax organization, I do plan to tithe from my money. That any money that I can raise to accentuate my radio broadcast efforts, I will, without a vow, give 10% as part of my obligatory offerings towards Heart to Heart. So it's not to compete with the monies being raised for Heart to Heart, also to assist myself, assist others, and as well to assist Heart to Heart. So it's basically three parties will be benefiting. Myself, that I can expand my broadcasting abilities, beautify it. Mm-hmm. To
unify.
It's also a blessing for those who contribute, and Heart to Heart will also benefit from our efforts. So that being said, Shoshana, as we're about to close, would you like to make any concluding statements before we turn to our segue ending music?
No, thank you for having me on, and thank you to anyone listening. Like Don, I was taking it, you know, whatever I could come up with in the moment, but I think we did okay. I think we did great. So thank you for thinking of me and hosting me, and hopefully next week we can be a little more... Eliezer and I can anyway be a little more together on this. So,
yes. And I just want to mention as well, for those who want to contribute towards my Blog Talk Radio broadcast, you can send it to me through PayPal. My email, you can send me through PayPal through dongoodman6@gmail.com. That's dongoodman6@gmail.com. And with that being said, blessed souls, we're going to end off as we usually do with these heart-to-heart programs from Jerusalem, although today Rabbi Gosek was involved in visiting a young woman in dire need of a great healing, and may that commence even before we play the song. But we're going to end off with the Yeshiva Diaspora Band, A Little Help from Hashem. And with that little help from Hashem, we've got to do good. And although that might generate ambivalence and all sorts of angst, that's okay. Because the Teva Tov Lehetiv, it's the nature of the good to do good. The Creator is the source of our goodness. So since that goodness is embedded within our human DNA, how much more so our divine image will help us get off in scrimmage. Our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. May this all be accomplished in the way of Ahava Chad, one love, Gor Lechad, one destiny, Kolon of all of us, Badarchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Darchi Shom, in a peaceful way, Laham Shich, Ba'ez Hashem Yisprek, to be continued with the help of the Most High Creator. And now, without further ado, that Yeshiva Diaspora Band with a little help from Hashem. Take care, everyone.
Anybody,
I said someone so high up above. I
get high with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem. I'm gonna try with a little help.
All right, everybody on the chorus.
Do you need anybody? I want somebody to love. Could it be anybody?
I said someone
so high up above.
Let's go.
I get high with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem. I'm gonna try with a little help from Hashem.
A little help.